ரவிஹாஹீர பரமரவம் ஜனவல்லிவரி கோபி ஜன்னவல்லிவர ஜனஹஞ்ச ஜம்முனியாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ்வானாஹ் Head high, hard, 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 heavy, hard, 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 Vishnupad Paramahans Parivajakacharya Astotara Sattva Sri Sriman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Raj Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Kishore Kishori Ki Jai Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sunday morning. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So yesterday I mentioned a particular point on how to improve your japa. What was that point? Who remembers? Yes? Put our concentration on the first word of the mantra, which is Hari. By putting more concentration on that, we will be able to access more of the process of hearing the mantra. How many of you tried that? How many of you experienced an improvement because of that? Okay. So, yeah, it's chanting means hearing, but the mind is also, you know, little mice in the mind, always talking, telling us what we should be doing or not doing. So we have to drown that sound out with the sound of the holy name. It's not, you can't stop the mind, you can just push it out. So you push it out by hearing, and therefore emphasizing our attention on a way to increase the hearing process, and that is putting our emphasis on Krishna's holy name by hearing the first Hare, and then that gives you a better access to the rest of the mantra. And also it is very spiritually sound in its philosophical understanding, because to approach Krishna, we have to approach Krishna through his energy. Like that. So. Okay, so another point I'll give you, a more simple one, and this is from the negative aspect. Don't try to finish your rounds. Getting your rounds done is not the way to approach the holy name. Sometimes we think I have to chant, I have to finish my rounds, I have to complete my rounds. But with that mood, you'll get very little or practically nothing out of your chanting. The idea is to try to meet Krishna in the name, and time will take care of itself. It's not a matter of racing against the clock. It's not the idea. You want to chant nicely because you're approaching the most important person in existence. And so if you're in a hurry, you think he's going to be around to listen to you? He's not there. If that person doesn't have any time for me, why should I be interested in sticking around? Because Krishna's name is Krishna. So if you're thinking, I want to get rid of him so I can do other things, that's the idea of finishing. He's not there in the first place. You can't access his presence. So the idea is just don't try to finish. Try to chant nicely. Time will take care of itself. And even if it takes a little longer, still the quality is what we are trying to emphasize in chanting. It's not about quantity. Quantity helps to improve quality, because when you do something more and more, you get better at it. But it's about quality, and quality means to chant and hear, and also chant with devotion. How do you chant with devotion? Feeling helpless. You can't conquer the mind, or you can't conquer the holy name with your mind. You have to allow your mind to receive the mercy of the holy name. So you're in a submissive state, not in a state of aggression. You're in a state of aggression, that doesn't work. You can chant fast, but it's not a matter of trying to somehow or other capture the holy name. You can't capture Krishna. Krishna captures you when he wants to. So the idea is that we should chant in a mood of helplessness, because we are helpless. So that's the mood. We're praying for the mercy of the holy name, and we're trying to hear nicely. That's the idea. And when Krishna sees the proper mood and the proper enthusiasm for chanting, he's more inclined to appear in his name. He is in his name, but he can also pull himself out if he wants to. Just like they say, if you're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with offense, you're not only not getting Krishna, but you're going backwards. So we also have to, that's another topic. So don't try to finish, try to hear nicely. Try to chant with devotion. Okay. We'll give these little tips every day. It's nice to refresh our mind about how important it is to chant Hare Krishna. Okay, this is the new chapter, chapter 31. And this is titled Narada's Instructions to the Prajaitas. Maitreya Uvacha Tatta Utpana Vijnana Asvahok Sajabhasitam Smaranta Atmaje Baryam Visridya Prajajan Grihat. Maitreya Uvacha Tata Upana Vijnana Asvadok Saja Bastitam Smaranta Atmajay Baryam Visridya Pravrajan Grihat. Maitreya Uvacha. Tata Upana Vigyana. Asvadoksa Jabhasitam. Smaranta Atmaje Bharyam. Visuja Pravra Jangrihat. Ladies. Maitreya Uvacha. Maitreya said, Tata, thereafter, Utpana, developed, Vijnana, possessing perfect knowledge, Asu, very soon, Ahoksaja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhasitam, what was enunciated, Smaranta, remembering, Atmaje, unto their son, Baryam, their wife, Visraja, after giving, Pravarjan, left, Grihat, from home. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport is a little lengthy, so please listen up. The great sage Maitreya continued, after that, the Prachetas lived at home for thousands of years and developed perfect knowledge and spiritual consciousness. At last, they remembered the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and left home, putting their wife in charge of a perfect son. Purport. After the Prachetas had finished their penances, they were blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord blessed them by telling them that after finishing their family life, they would return home back to Godhead in due course of time. After finishing their family life, which lasted thousands of years according to calculations of the demigods, the Prachetas decided to leave home, putting their wife in charge of a son named Daksha. This is the process of Vedic civilization. In the beginning of life, as a brahmachari, one has to undergo severe penances and austerities in order to be educated in spiritual values. The brahmachari or student is never allowed to mingle with women and learn from the beginning of life about sex enjoyment. The basic flaw in modern civilization is that boys and girls are given freedom during school and college to enjoy sex life. Most of the children are vana sankara, meaning born of undesirable fathers and mothers. Consequently, the whole world is in chaos. Actually, human civilization should be based on Vedic principles. This means that in the beginning of life, boys and girls should undergo penances and austerities. When they are grown, they should get married, live for some time at home, and beget children. When the children are grown up, the man should leave home and search for Krishna consciousness. In this way, one can make one's life perfect by going home to the kingdom of God. Unless one practices penances and austerities in his student life, he cannot understand the existence of God. Without realizing Krishna, one cannot make his life perfect. The conclusion is that when the children are grown, the wife should be put in the children's charge. The husband may leave home to develop Krishna consciousness. Everything depends on a development of mature knowledge. King Prasinabhartishat, the father of the Prajetas, left home before the arrival of his sons, who were engaged in austerities within the water. As soon as the time was ripe, or as soon as one has developed perfect Krishna consciousness, he should leave home, even though all his duties may not be fulfilled. Prasinabhartishat was waiting for the arrival of his sons, but following the instructions of Narada, as soon as his intelligence was properly developed, he simply left instructions for his ministers to impart to his sons. Thus, without waiting for their arrival, he left home. Giving up a comfortable home life is absolutely necessary for human beings and is advised by Prahlad Maharaj, Idvatmapatam Grihan Andakumpam. To finish the materialistic way of life, one should leave his so-called comfortable home, which is simply a means for killing the soul, Atmapatam. The home is considered to be a dark well covered by grass, and if one falls within this well, he simply dies without anyone's caring. Hare Krishna. One should therefore not be too much attached to family life, for it will spoil one's development of Krishna consciousness. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unvilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunatananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Visaya Vinivartante Niharasya Dehinam Rajam Raso Raj Parjam Raso Rajam Param Drishmat Nivartante Visaya Vinivartante Niharasya Dehinam Raso Vart. So I couldn't hear anything, but anyway. Vasya. Raso Varjam. Get that ras there. Okay, so this verse from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita explains that when one gets a higher taste, one can give up the lower taste. The higher taste is Krishna consciousness. The lower taste is material enjoyment. So there's some taste in material enjoyment, otherwise there wouldn't be anybody participating in it. So what is that taste? It's like a drop of water in the desert. It's explained by the acharyas that happiness in material world is like family life. And what is family life, you know? Surrounded by relatives, friends, children, wealth, bank balance, and so many other things. And thinking one thing, a self as the king of the world, you know. So in that illusion state, one is partially getting some satisfaction. Otherwise, why would they work so hard? Why would they struggle so much? Why would they endeavor so much? There's some little happiness, but what is that happiness? My dunya, right? Sex life. And that's what family life is all about. It's all about sex life. To enjoy a little bit of sex life, a little bit of pleasure. Now, people are sacrificing their time, their energy, their everything, so just to make a little arrangements for sex life. And that's the material world. And this goes on as life. But it's really a hard struggle. So, but there is what we say ideal family life. Family life is not rejected, but there is a way to participate in family life in such a way that one actually becomes detached from that family life and moves on to the goal of life for Krishna consciousness. And that is to live according to religious principles here. King Prasina Barhishat was a great king. He had 9 sons known as the Prajetas. He sent them out to perform austerities and penances. He was expert in performing fruitive activities, and he was, what we say, somewhat happy by that. But at the same time, he was understanding that he was not fulfilling the goal of life. So by the grace of Narada Muni, he heard transcendental knowledge, which was given in the form of an analogy. The story of Paranjana, right? Paranjana. This is, Bhagavatam is all factual, but there's, that section of the Bhagavatam is an analogous. It's a story to bring about a certain message. And what is that message? That ultimately, that material happiness simply is not the goal of life. It simply leads to suffering. One should detach oneself gradually from that. And this is what this verse is about. He was waiting for his sons to come home. Why? So he could give them the kingdom and instruct them in how to rule the kingdom. And then he would retire timely. But Narada says, don't wait for that to come. Now's the time. And that principle is also there. We also say, now is the time for Krishna consciousness. The nature of the conditioned soul is they wait for a so-called ideal situation before they can surrender to Krishna. But surrender ultimately is the principle of living your life in that mood at every moment. If you don't surrender now, what means you're going to surrender later? Because situations are never guaranteed to be better. And there's no ideal situation to surrender in. Every moment is an opportunity for surrender. What is that surrender? To engage in devotional service. So this is what's being explained here. So finally, he left everything and then went to the forest, performed austerities and penances, and actually achieved self-realization by the grace of Narada Muni. He listened to his spiritual master very carefully, although it was difficult. To accept instructions that are difficult is another form of austerity. But when the instructions come from a higher authority, who is the well-wisher, then we can accept those instructions as being ideal, although we may not understand them fully or able to execute them with enthusiasm. But still, one has to surrender to what we say, the attachment to material life. So here it says that too much attachment or too much comfort in material life within the family is a disqualification for Krishna consciousness, because it makes one think that I'm okay. It's not so bad. Of course, that's the ostrich philosophy. The ostrich sticks his head in the ground, and though the tiger is coming to eat him, he doesn't see it. He's thinking, you know, this ground is very nice. And there's no danger around. At least I can't see any. So material life is like that. We don't know that any moment, padam padam ya padam nate sham, that any moment one can be finished in a second. You can be sitting in your bed, you know, just sleeping nicely. You can roll over and fall out of your bed and die. It's like, it happens too. People die in their sleep. They fall out of bed, walking along the street. You know, you never know what's going to happen. It's a dangerous place. Bhaktisiddhanta said, it's a danger at every second. So to delay the process of surrender means to actually take a big risk. So what is the process of surrender? Is that if one is in family life, one should somehow learn to detach themselves from the comforts of family life and perform austerities and penances, even while in family life, to ultimately become detached from material happiness and use family life simply as an opportunity for Krishna consciousness. Whereas two people work together to assist each other in the goal of life. It's not about material enjoyment. It's about renunciation, even in family life. Because this is the mood of the Vaishnava culture, renunciation. It's teaching us ultimately how to move step by step to come to the point of complete surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. So here gives you a little understanding. But living family life is risky because there's always a danger that one will become, what we say, enamored by the comforts of material happiness or material life like that. And then one starts to lose their enthusiasm to achieve the goal of life, because in order to get Krishna, one has to be fixed on Krishna. In other words, one has to understand that I have to really emphasize my devotion to Krishna as opposed to whatever else I do. It has to be first. If it's not first, whatever else is first will be the goal. And then ultimately that becomes the result, whatever it is. So here, it says, and if one falls within this well of so-called happy family life, then one dies without anybody caring. Very strong statement. Like, who, you know, if you fall into a well and you're just calling out and there's nobody around and the well is deep, nobody can hear you. The only one who's hearing you is you. So it's like that. You're struggling to somehow or other practice Krishna consciousness, but at the same time you're still trying to find happiness in the material world. It's like putting a foot in two different boats that are going in two different directions. It's going to be pretty painful at one point. So therefore, whatever we are, what is that? Manaso deho geho yo kichu mor arpitu tu ampade nande kishor. That if in family life, your home, your wife, your possessions, your husband, your whatever you have, it's for Krishna service. It's for Krishna service. You may take what you need to live happily, but at the same time, you should be in a mood of renunciation towards the enjoyment that these things give. Because that enjoyment is simply not enjoyment. It's just a necessary arrangement in order to keep the body together and the mind somewhat stable. But enjoyment is on the spiritual platform. There's no enjoyment in the material world. The enjoyment of the material world, there is a concessionary understanding of enjoyment given by Vyapati in his beautiful poem in describing, you know, material life. He says it's like a drop of water in the desert. If one is thirsty and you're in the desert, someone says, here, I brought you a drop. Please drink to your full satisfaction. You would think, this person is really harassing me. Because that drop is only going to increase your desire for water. It's not going to quench your thirst. So material happiness doesn't really satisfy us. There's no satisfaction in that. And that's why we come to spiritual life, because we're experiencing the frustrations of material life. And sometimes sometimes devotees, after coming to Krishna consciousness because of material suffering, after 3 or 4 years in the process, they go back to material life again. Because somehow or other, the suffering stops by coming to Krishna conscious, and then they forget, and they go back out and try it again, just to see what it's like. You know, maybe I didn't do it right the first time. So far, nobody's done it right yet, so, but I'm different. I know the secret of how to be happy. Nobody else knows it. Even Krishna doesn't reveal, he only reveals it to certain people like me. So that's called Maya. The illusion that if I just do it a little bit different or approach it a little bit differently, then I'll be happy materially. But it's the same thing. Padam padam yapadam natesham. Material life is simply meant for your defeat. It's there simply to cause you pain, so you ultimately want to get out. That's the reason material life is there. We learn that after a while. It takes sometimes a whole life to learn that this world is not meant for our happiness. It takes a lot of experience sometimes and a lot of philosophical, what we say, edification to really become convinced that, hey, you know, now I understand what this place is like. It sucks. There's that bumper sticker, you know? Life sucks and then you die. You ever see that one? And that's true. That's really a Vedic aphorism. Because all you get is a lot of hard struggle, trying to satisfy the senses which are never satisfied. There's that prayer. I can't remember the Sanskrit. A man is just saying, I've satisfied my senses my whole life. I've been a perfect servant to my senses and my mind and everything. I've given them everything they want. Now I'm dying and they're still saying, give me more. I want more. Prabhupada tells the story. Akbar, King Akbar, he was there. He was saying, I think, you know, this sex desire, when you get old, it somehow becomes less. And then he asked his minister. The minister said, my king, it's not like that. It never leaves you, even to the time of your death. And I'll teach you. You come with me. Actually, you wait. I'll make the arrangement. You come with me. So after a few days, he said, Akbar, let's go. So they went. Now the minister arranged to visit this dying man who was a very dear, what we say, follower of the king. He really had a lot of affection for the king. The man was dying. He was on his deathbed. He was old also. And so the king, and then the minister said, bring your daughter with you. And now before they walked into the room with the man, he said to the king, watch the eyes of the man when you walk in with your daughter. And so they walked in, and immediately the man is dying. Here's the king coming in, and he's looking at the daughter. And then he understood, yes, you're right. So even though the machine doesn't work as it used to, the desire is still there. That's why old age is suffering, because people have a lot of desires, but they can't fulfill them. That's the suffering of the old age. They still have the desire to enjoy sense gratification, but the machine just, you know, is falling apart. So it's a miserable situation, and people die in that state of existence. So this material desire has to be, that's why it's mentioned in this purport, brahmachari life, or student life, is required in order to detach ourselves from the desire for sense gratification. And what is that training? Tapo divyam. In other words, learning how to, what we say, free ourselves from sensual pleasures and engaging in devotional service. And when you get a higher taste, then you can give up the lower taste, or you can no longer look to a material life for some fulfillment or some satisfaction. And Krishna consciousness is the higher taste. Therefore, we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Why? We get a higher taste. We engage in devotional service. We get a higher taste. We take Krishna Prasadam. We get a higher taste. We read philosophical teachings. we get a higher taste. And that higher taste becomes concentrated as we engage more and more in devotional service. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. And then one should, therefore, even if one is in family life, one should see, one should not be too much attached to the comforts and the arrangements. As it says there, it's like, a beautiful wife and all her sweet talkings and all the little children that go, da-da, ga-ga, woo-hoo, hee-hee, ah, he's so nice. And the little kids in the room, everyone's saying, ooh. You could have Krishna could be in the room, but if there's a little kid in the room, everybody's looking at the little kid. You know, he's more important. he's like the center. And he's saying, what was his first words? Dada. Oh, he said my name. Ah, so nice. And you get so psyched up, and it's really nice. And ooh, and he's... And he smiles, right? Yeah, just like yesterday we were around this little kid. Everybody was like, he was getting all the darshan. It was good because I didn't really want it. And it's like, it's like that. And then, but it says in the Bhagavatam that this is like the, a deer. When you want to attract a deer in hunting, you play sweet music. So the sweet music for the deer is very nice, but it's going to lead to the deer's death. So this nice surrounding of a beautiful wife, her husband, and nice material things and all these things is like the sweet music that leads to ultimately killing of the deer. So that's Bhagavatam. So we have to be careful not to get enamored by all this, what we say, external arrangements of the material energy simply for our defeat. And therefore, keep your mind on Krishna. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. Krishna is, the name Krishna is really what we say very much, important to understand. It means all attractive. One of the qualities of God is that he can attract everyone. And therefore, his name is Krishna, as Prabhupada says. Prabhupada said, actually, this is the perfect name for God. Because who is that person that can contract everyone at all times, at all places? It's God. And therefore, the name Krishna is the perfect way to describe that personality. So we want to get attracted by Krishna. So how do we get attracted by Krishna? We take darshan of Krishna, just like the deities. Now, if I were to look at you and just stare at you for a long time, what would you think? Who are you looking at me, man? What's wrong with you? Yeah, but you got a problem. And especially if you're a lady, if some guy's just looking at you like... You're thinking, what's he after? So if someone stares at you, you just think, there's something wrong. But you can stare at Krishna, and he likes it. That's darshan. You can look at him for hours, and he'll still smile. And you can continue to look, and it's no problem. In fact, actually, it's a good thing. But if you try that with somebody, even your husband and your wife, if you come home to your wife and you're just looking at her like, he says, did you have a hard day at the office? there's something obviously wrong. But when you stare at Krishna, it's perfect because he likes to be stared at. That's why he's there. So you can take darshan. There was my god sister, name is Landini, famous Landini from New Vrindavan. She took darshan of Jagannath for 5 hours, just looking at Jagannath for 5 hours. And she didn't move her eyes off the deity in those 5 hours. Everybody was thinking, well, someone actually saw the darshan. That's why it was written about later. They were wondering, what is she seeing? But she was seeing Krishna. And Krishna was also reciprocating with her devotion. So we can do that with Krishna. We get attracted to Krishna. And Krishna, every part of Krishna's body is transcendentally, what we say, attractive. It's described in detail in the third canto. It's actually describing the body of Lord Narayan. When Kapila Dev starts to describe the form of the Lord in each and every part of his body in a very unique way, in describing the beauty and the attractiveness of each of his limbs. And it's so nice. And that was the meditation on Dhruva Maharaj. He was simply absorbed in seeing the transcendental form of the Lord in the mind. So when we become attracted to Krishna, and then we lose this attraction for this, what we say, pale material energy, which is really, it's a reflection of Krishna's energy, but it's not real in the sense that it's changing. You know, it's changing. It's always changing. But Krishna never, not only Krishna changes, but he gets better. When you take darshan of Krishna, the more you take darshan, the more you serve Krishna, the more you develop your attachment to Krishna, the nicer Krishna gets. And Prabhupada used to say that if you could actually see Krishna standing on the altar, you would faint. We can't really see him. We're seeing something. But he's revealing us according to how much our devotion is there, or how much our enthusiasm is there. So Krishna is all attractive. His names is all attractive. His form is all attractive. That's why he's called all attractive. In fact, Krishna is so attractive, he attracts himself. There's that one story where Krishna was walking and he was passing this column. It was a beautiful column, but it had reflective power. He stopped and he looked. He said, "Oh, wow, who is that beautiful person?" Then he realized it was himself. So Krishna is so nice that he attracts himself. Don't try that with yourself. So some people do that every morning. They take darshan, you know. Get up, you look in the mirror. Ah, there I am. That's so nice. After you're done, you know, taking darshan of the deity, then you go out on parikram, right? And you go outside and make sure everyone else gets to see that, get the same darshan. But if they would see you when you first wake up in the morning, that's a whole different thing. That's why before you get married, you'd always see your wife before she wakes up. After she wakes, then you might think twice about getting married. Those of you who have that experience, you know, it's not the same. So this is material life. It's like you're getting fooled at every minute. But with Krishna consciousness, with Krishna, you're not getting fooled. You're getting the real thing. And that real thing is that Krishna is awakening within us that natural attraction, which is based on our eternal relationship with Krishna. So therefore, you know, Prabhupada has given us so many books and so many ways that we can become attracted to Krishna. Some of us like kirtan, some of us like philosophy, some of us like prasad, some like to do service, some like to talk about Krishna. There's so many ways you can get attracted to Krishna. And that's the idea. And then it becomes easy, or not easy, easy, but the better word is natural, to renounce material desires or material attachments. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness. Get attracted to Krishna. And how do we get attracted to Krishna? Hear about Krishna more and more and more. He's so nice. Maharaj Parikshit was listening to the pastimes of Krishna from Tukadev Goswami for 6 days. He forgot what it was like to eat, to sleep, or even to drink water. He was absorbed in hearing about Krishna. And then Sukadev Goswami said to him after 6 days, he said, "Maharaj, do you want some water? Are you a little tired?" He said, "Please continue. Now you're about to go into the 10th canto. This is what I've been waiting for." Sukadeva Goswami, when he heard the enthusiasm of Maharaj Parikshit, he just became more enthusiastic to narrate the pastimes. So, you know, this is, and Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days to live. And therefore, what was the message? That he was going to die. But everyone's Maharaj Parikshit. Everyone's going to die. And Prabhupada said, whether you die today or tomorrow, you got to die. Well, the body has to die anyway. So use whatever's time that's left to become Krishna conscious. How do we do that? Take an inventory of your life and just see what's not necessary. Right? What's not necessary? That late night monster movie you see at 1 o'clock in the morning, that maybe you can cut that one out. What's not necessary in your life? Just start pushing it out. We have to take inventory. Am I using my time in the best possible way? How can I use my time? Because time is valuable. It's precious. As Prabhupada used to quote Chanaka Pandit, you know, a moment gone is gone. Even if you're a Kropati, you can't buy that moment back. Time is precious. Money, you can get it, and you can lose it, and you can get it again. But time goes in one way. Time is called inexhaustible, insurmountable, all-powerful. What's another one? Impenetrable. It's Krishna. In the form of, therefore Krishna's name is Hari. So what does Hari mean? One who takes away everything. So time is Hari, or one who takes away everything. So we want to, therefore time is the most precious thing. Using our time in the best possible way to keep our attention on Krishna, devotional service. There may be some difficulties, but tolerate. We can tolerate the difficulties and go on with our devotional service. Okay, any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
So, specifically in regards to darshan, so this reminds me in the Gita where Krishna says, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from only a spark of my splendor.
Mm-hmm.
So that also reminds me of the other verse in the Gita where it says, out of many thousands of my men, some may want to achieve perfection. Of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth.
Yeah.
So this verse is kind of confusing because it would seem that those who have achieved perfection will know Krishna in truth, and they'll realize that, you know, everything we see is only a spark of his beauty. So how are we to understand that particular verse?
Yeah. What does that mean? To one, hardly anyone knows me in truth, but you can know Krishna to the point where you can receive liberation. In other words, even if you know Krishna up to a certain level, even if you don't know him perfectly, and no one can know him perfectly, he's beyond our range of understanding. It's just not possible. Krishna's too great to know perfectly. Krishna also says in the Gita, in the same chapter, I know everybody and no one knows me. Same chapter. So, but Prabhupada was saying one time, he was sitting on his Vyasa son, he was giving a lecture. He said, just try to become fully Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. And the devotees were looking, and Prabhupada stopped and said, all right, just become 90% Krishna conscious. And then everyone was still silent, like you are. And then he said, become 80%. Nobody moved. And then he said, all right, 70%. Just become 70% Krishna conscious. And then he turned around and left. So he was saying that, you know, to know Krishna in full is not possible. But if you have a, if you, you can reach perfection in the sense that what is perfection means, one is you don't anymore more want this material world, and you're engaged fully in devotional service. And Krishna will, even if you still have some material tinges there that are left over from association with matter, and then that'll be cleared at the time of death if one is fixed in devotional service. Well, yes, and it's, even Krishna doesn't know himself in full. It's, Prabhupada used to say, when Krishna tries to understand himself, he becomes greater, and then he loses the ability to understand how great he is. So what Krishna's, it's impossible to understand Krishna. But you can get an, you can know him up to the point of loving him. When you love, you can love him completely, and that's perfection. We want to love Krishna, and that's the perfection. So if you have love for Krishna, that's perfect. Love for Krishna means service to Krishna. So serve Krishna to develop love for Krishna. That's perfection. One who has achieved love for Krishna has achieved perfection. Even though they don't know Krishna fully, still the love is the attainment of perfection. What is love? Love means that you make Krishna, you know, your only object of everything you do in life. You talk to Krishna, you write prayer, you offer prayers to Krishna, you sing songs to Krishna, you write poetry to Krishna, you reveal your mind to Krishna, you pray to Krishna, you hear about his pastimes. You become Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious. Prabhupada said, just like a wino. Oh, you know what a wino is? I guess, yeah. Who, anybody did not know what a wino is? A wino is a guy who drinks wine all the time. You know, alcohol. You see him on the streets sometimes. They finish one bottle and they're just looking for the next bottle. Prabhupada said, that's how you have to be with Krishna. The wino is thinking, this bottle's finished, I got to get the next one. And then he goes for the next. He can't live without his wine. So we can't live without Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. Yes. Lucas, is it?
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. On the topic of being efficient with our time, how can we avoid getting entangled in mundane conversations without being offensive?
Learning how to give excuses when that comes. Oh, gee, I just realized I have something to do. I'll see you later. Is that a good one? It works. Excuse yourself, that's all. Oh, I just realized my house is on fire. I'll be back. Huh? Oh, I have to go to the bathroom, yeah. Emergency. Nature's calling. Learn how to excuse yourself from these things. And if you're also very patient and you can deal with that, you might also take the conversation and redirect it to something beneficial. If you listen carefully what mundane nonsense is, you can find some words in there that, and you just rediscuss it in a Krishna conscious way. And that's one way. Sometimes a person might feel a little insulted, but who cares? Mundane talk is, there are six ways to destroy your Krishna consciousness. That's one of them. It's called prajalpa. There's six ways to destroy Krishna consciousness. Atyahara, prayasa, prajalpa, niyamagraha, Janasanga, and what's the last one? Lao Yam. Mm-hmm. And read Nectar of Instructions, verse number 2. Describe 6 ways that you destroy your spirit. And one of them is talking unnecessarily about mundane topics. So Lord Chaitanya instructed Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, don't listen to the conversations of the mundane people. It's called gramyakata, village talk. What she's doing, what he's doing, what she's wearing, who's wearing, this is on television, this and this. It's all mundane talk. You know. Even if you can't talk about Krishna, better to be silent than to speak nonsense. Just chant Hare Krishna like that. Because mundane talk really drains your energy and also diverts your conscience away from Krishna. Sometimes we have to talk about material things in order to do our day-to-day life. That's not mundane talk. If you have to carry on your business, do it. If you have to carry on your household, do it. But don't just do what's necessary. Is that when we get into what is called gossip, fault-finding, blaspheming, useless talk. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes there's 6 or 7 different types of prajalpa. You know. So stay away from mundane talk. Don't do it, don't listen to it. It's otherwise, you know, your Krishna consciousness will be gradually going down like that. And you can excuse yourself if you can't change the conversation. If you can change it, that's the best. If you can't, just excuse yourself. Jayananda Prabhu, when somebody would be talking, mundane talk or talking about, and he said, oh, excuse me, I got some service to do. And he would immediately leave. And then that indication of Jayananda leaving would be, people would say, oh, we're talking nonsense, that's why he left. And then they get the message. Because they knew he didn't like any kind of mundane talk. So when he left, it was an indication that they weren't acting properly. You can send a message also like that. You can politely go to hell if you want to stay there. I'm being polite, but I'm going to hell. Gadadhar Pandit, that's another story with Gadadhar Pandit and Vallabhacharya. That's a nice story. Vallabhacharya was forcing himself on Gadadhar Pandit, and Gadadhar Pandit, he was so simple, so humble, so meek, so gentle. And he wanted to respect this great sage. But the sage was speaking something he didn't want to hear. And he knew Lord Chaitanya didn't approve of it. But he couldn't get away. So in his heart, he started to pray to the Lord. Please, Lord, save me from this. I don't want to offend this person by leaving. But at the same time, I don't want to listen to it. Lord Chaitanya understood his heart. But Sarup Damodar Goswami chastised Gadadhar Pandit for listening and staying there. So he got chastised also. So we don't have to listen to this stuff. You know. It's not in the... It's detrimental. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo, Sri Sri Narottam Das Thakur Disappearance Day ki jai. Yesterday, but just a reminder. If you get a chance, take some time, read about Narottam Das. He's very fundamental to our practice of Krishna consciousness.
We have an announcement for all the devotees. We have a vegetable cut-up this morning. Everyone, please come for vegetable cut-up. And then after that, we